Welcome to Distribution Talk with Jason Vader, the show where we dive into the stories, struggles, and solutions from business owners and thought leaders in the wholesale distribution market.
Hi friends, Jason here. I just had the pleasure of speaking with Anna Sherbina, and I'm telling you right now, I think this is a really interesting topic for us. We haven't explored this as much. Anna is the CEO of Remotivate, and she specializes in hiring and recruiting remote workers for your organization. And not only remote workers domestically, primarily what they're really looking at is international remote workers. And I know this is something that it can be a little bit of a stretch for many legacy companies that I certainly work with, and I know that listen to this show. But this is something where I'd love to see us kind of break through that barrier, break through that fear of hiring someone who is maybe of a different nationality and maybe lives thousands of miles away. And how can we utilize someone like Anna to help us recruit teams that don't necessarily have to come into our office? And I know this, again, this is kind of that big leap of faith, but it was just a fascinating conversation and listening to her journey and the way they go about, you know, vetting candidates is really designed to make you as the business owner or the manager who's looking for a remote person, it's designed to make you feel just so much more comfortable in that process. So thoroughly enjoyed speaking with Anna, and I hope you enjoy our conversation.
This episode of Distribution Talk is sponsored by InSQL Distribution Software. InSQL is a fully functional distribution-based software package, and these folks do it very well at a price point many smaller distributors can afford. Another thing I like about this company is they do it all in-house. They take on these applications and build them into the platform using state-of-the-art Microsoft technology. No third-party bolt-ons for them. This is important because when you need technical assistance, they are the single point of contact. If you're ready to step up to a fully loaded, scalable distribution package at an affordable price, look no further than InSQL Distribution Software at www.insql.com. That's InSQL.com.
Well, hi, Anna. Welcome to Distribution Talk, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Jason, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I was really intrigued when I started learning a little bit about your business. Remote work, I mean, this has been a hot topic. I mean, this has been a big topic, you know, for the last several years, obviously brought on by the pandemic, and it's kind of fascinating. And now you've taken it a little bit further than the neighborhood or the going home, but could you share with us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with remote work?
So yeah, just to give you a little bit about me, my entire background has been operations and recruitment. I've been doing this for the past, I want to say over 10 years now. It's been a while. It's been a minute. So that's just always been my background. Recently, I realized that I've actually never hired for an in-person job, like being in an office, hiring somebody for an office. I've always hired internationally and remote when it comes to the process. So I started actually by sending people abroad all over the world for different programs, exchange programs, work programs. That's where I started 10 years ago. Now, I want to say this was 2017 when I got into the remote space and I started getting opportunities and operations and recruitment. I never really set out to become a business owner. That was never my intention, to be completely honest. I think a lot of people want that, and they talk about how they've, you know, struggled to become a business owner. It just never was a goal of mine. I'm not a marketer. I've always loved, you know, hiring people, helping business owners figure out their business. And I fell in love working with remote companies. It was just such an incredible thing, seeing how they operate, giving people opportunities all over the world. And so when I got into that space, people started asking me during networking events and all kinds of just different conferences, oh, so you do remote recruitment. So you know how to hire people online. I'm like, yeah, of course. I mean, that's what I've been doing for years now.
That's what I've been doing. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
It just became this snowball effect of people saying, oh, well, can you help me hire? And can you help me hire? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, these are friends, business friends in my network. And then it turned into this snowball of people coming and asking me, oh, well, my friend said you did it for him. Can you do this for me now? And it just snowballed into a business. I really never set out to do it. So I've been running it now since, I want to say, late 2018. It's been quite a few years. We help a lot of online remote companies, and this was way before COVID. But yeah, that's how I got into what I do. And it's amazing because remote work changed my life. And this is a big reason of why I started Remotivate, because I wanted to help a lot of both business owners and candidates out there change their life by going into that remote space.
You know, it's really interesting. You know, I think about this, you're going into that, didn't want to be a business owner. And you get dragged into it. I remember when I was being asked to coach someone. I say, well, how much does that cost? And I go, I don't know. I'll figure it out, but I don't know yet. And so, yeah, you learn on the fly. And no, I think that's fantastic. And just for the heck of it, tell us where you're calling in from, or where are we speaking to you?
Yeah, that's another great perk of remote work and having an online business. Right now, I'm in Barcelona. I'm based out of Barcelona, but I've had the pleasure in the last couple of months. I was in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. I was in Bansko, Bulgaria. I was in Madeira, Portugal. But I do base out of Barcelona these days.
Gotcha. No, I think it's interesting that you embody this, you know, that it's not just a company that you recruit for and you help others. This is what you are. This is who you are. This is, you know, you embody this world. And so I think that makes it more authentic, and you can really look at those candidates and help those candidates say, hey, look, I do this. You know, you can too. So if you could talk a little bit about, I guess, why it was so important for you to help, let's start on the business owner side, you know, to help find international candidates. And I assume that's primarily what you're helping them locate.
Yeah. So we hire candidates from all over the world, North America, Europe, Latin America. I mean, we've hired on 6 continents. I always make this joke, but if we could hire in Antarctica, we would.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, why not, right? So we do hire all over the world, because a lot of these companies, they want the opportunity to be able to get candidates with salaries that are a bit more affordable, especially if you're bootstrapping a business and you want to grow a team pretty quickly. That's quite hard to do in North America. It's okay if you're at a point where you can afford that, but a lot of companies are starting out. That's the whole point of the remote space. It really allows so many more business owners to get out there, entrepreneurs to get out there and build a team up and grow much faster, because there are incredible staff all over the world that are a fraction of the cost, because the living costs are so much lower to be able to live in those
countries
in Southeast Asia or Latin America.
So when you are looking at building a team or recruiting a team, I guess, do you find that people have already clustered together, or are you pulling individuals, you know, bringing them in and matching skill sets, saying, okay, I think I can build a team here?
Oh, well, I guess, do you mean in regards to a specific role or do you mean?
Yeah, let's say that you wanted to have an e-commerce team or, you know, a marketing team of some sort. Do you find that there are people that have already kind of clustered together and they build themselves as a crew to come in and work on a project?
I think it really just comes down to, you know, there's a couple of things here. One, there's the strategy aspect. Some business owners will hire an agency that has a team. So instead of going about and having to hire those people individually, you'll just pay a fee to an agency. We don't really do that. We generally have clients come to us and say, hey, Anna, we need a rockstar e-commerce manager, or really need somebody that's going to be the marketing manager or the social media person. Can you help us find that person? And we go ahead and we have different ways of serving our clients, but that's how we're going about it, really tapping into finding the best individual for the job.
Gotcha. So primarily, and I'm just going to make an assumption here, that primarily the candidates you're working with, they are English speaking, and that this is not an uncomfortable situation. There's not going to be a language barrier. I think these are all fears that are going to come up when someone is looking into this.
Yeah, absolutely. What's really interesting, the surprising factor when hiring internationally is not the language barrier as much as it is the cultural barrier. Because you'll have people, let's say the Philippines, English is one of their main languages. So everybody in the Philippines speaks English. But what, for example, somebody might have a challenge with from North America connecting with a team in the Philippines, for example, is that there is a huge cultural difference. Just the same way if you were hiring from India or Eastern Europe or Latin America or South Africa, each part of the world is very unique and culturally different. And there could be communication issues, not because of the language barrier, but because of the cultural barrier.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, when you're recruiting and you're looking, let's say, you know, again, a company is coming to you and saying, I need to start building a team. What types of roles or positions or teams tend to be easier to recruit or tend to work best for you? These are kind of your slam dunk, easy, I got this, no problem. What tends to work best?
I just want to say, because we work with so many different companies, the most requested roles are either marketing related or operations related. And when I say marketing, I just mean client forward, right? So it could be account managers, customer client success managers, like that can be counted as even marketing because they're upselling or salespeople, okay. Right? So there's all kinds of things on the marketing side. And when I say operations, it just means anything that's internally facing. And again, that could be so many different things. It doesn't have to be related to, you know, being an operations manager or a general manager. But the roles that we typically hire for and that are scaling the fastest are either internally facing, operations related and the day-to-day related back end of a business, or a customer client focus, which is like that sales marketing side.
So when you started out and you started getting these requests, what kinds of roles were people really, you know, asking you to go recruit for? Where was your sweet spot early on?
I would say operations, just because my background's an operations manager. So I used to do a lot of operations consulting. So a lot of companies would hire me to consult on their operations, and they would say, how do we get another you? Like, just let's clone you and can you hire somebody like you?
Okay, I got you.
So that's actually ended up being our most requested role. We do operations positions from $2,000 a month all the way to $300,000 a year. But we do a lot of operations roles.
Gotcha. Okay. And are these primarily working with manufacturing companies? What types of businesses are going out and seeking your services here?
There's just a whole variety. So we work with companies that have their own manufacturing. It's a lot of like e-commerce will have their own, you know, manufacturing going on. We work with a lot of agencies that work on the e-commerce side with distributors. So agencies and e-commerce being the most popular ones, but we also work with content and SaaS and affiliate. We do all kinds of different companies. Actually, we love exploring new industries as well. So for example, one of our newer clients is a construction company.
Okay.
So that's going to be very interesting.
Sure.
Another then government services. So I love that. Personally, when a new client comes in and they ask, like, have you had experience with this industry? I say no. And I'm so happy that I don't, because this is like such a unique opportunity. I always see it as a unique opportunity and challenge. And my team loves it. They love to be challenged.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that you mentioned construction. Construction tends to, I guess, from the outside, appear to be such a locally based, hands-on. It's an industry that you think, well, how would a remote worker, you know, especially an international remote worker, how could they benefit a company like that? I think that's just something for people to wrap their head around. And that's a hard one.
I think a lot of local businesses could actually really use help from international staff, online international staff, whether that's administrative type of tasks, whether that's marketing type of tasks. And I think a lot of business owners don't really consider it. They don't consider this even a possibility to outsource this to somebody outside of North America.
Right.
So it's a great opportunity.
If I could for a moment, I want to go back to kind of going back to your starting the business. I know I'm kind of jumping a little bit here, but I want to go back to you kind of transitioning from that recruiting for someone else, essentially, you know, for a check, that versus you running that business. Something you posted recently, you were talking about failure, and failure was one of the greatest lessons that you've learned as an entrepreneur. Could you share a little bit more about that philosophy and some thoughts around that?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think the way I can also, for some context here, is I'm a bit of a perfectionist, especially when you work in operations, you want everything to run smoothly. And there's so much more control in operations because ultimately it's a tool, logistics, project management. These are very tangible things. So for me, it was always about this perfectionism. And I think becoming a business owner was really a huge shift in mindset because as a business owner, you absolutely need to fail to be able to succeed. And that was a huge takeaway for me. It was all about how do I not be perfect? How do I make mistakes and not feel like I have to give up? And I can tell you that I wanted to give up so many times. Every time either a client had a complaint or was unhappy, or somebody within my team was unhappy or was not working out, every single time a situation would come up, I would be completely like, I would stop in my tracks and say, what am I doing here? This is
right.
I don't know where I'm going with this. I think I should quit. As business owners know what they're doing. They know how to hire. They know how to run a team. They know how to market their product. They know how to make sure all their customers and clients are happy. But that's not true. Like most of us, I have a huge network of business friends and business owners, and most of them don't really know what's going on. They're figuring it out along the way. And that was a huge insight for me. And so my biggest takeaway was, how do I see every failure as an opportunity? How do I take that and turn that into a better process, a better onboarding, a better hiring, a better process for our clients, a better experience on one or other place in our business? It's every single time when that disappointment hits, that's the first initial thought. It's like that disappointment. The next thought is, how do I use this to level up? So that's to answer your question around. Yeah. I've really used failure as a fuel to grow the business, but it took me a minute to get there for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm a perfectionist as well. And I think it is a barrier. It's an absolute barrier. I think it there's a lot of fear associated with that failure or something not going according to plan. And yeah, if you can get to that point where it's okay and you can embrace that fear and embrace that change, you're going to be so much more successful. I mean, I think about, you know, your comments around, well, a business owner should know this or a CEO should know this. And there's this imposter syndrome that we run into constantly. And actually, I have a lot of people that reach out to me and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, should I quit? I'm feeling, you know, very overwhelmed. And I'll say, look, we all are. This is something that happens. It's okay. But boy, if you can get to a point where you can embrace that and do something with it, there's no limits at that point, you know, because these situations are going to come up so constantly. And I think you're right. It leads to great opportunities, great directions for your organization.
I also wanted to add this one thing, because I feel like many people who are listening have this experience, right, of around failure. And I think one big takeaway is that whether you're starting your business and you feel completely lost. I was talking to somebody recently who is at a very early stages, and they're like, I don't know how I should do this. And then I talk to people that are at 100, 150, you know, million, nine-figure business owners. They're like, Anna, so what do you think? How should I do this? And so
right.
The question of, well, what should I do? Doesn't matter how large the company gets. I am sure billion-dollar companies ask themselves those questions every day too.
Consumed with meetings about what am I supposed to be doing here? And I think it's interesting, you know, really, again, overcoming fear. And the reason I kind of brought this up and I wanted you to share a little bit more about this is because I think it's a lot of when legacy businesses, people that have, you know, maybe multi-generational, a lot of the people that I work with and a lot of the listeners here are multi-generational family businesses. And they've been doing things a certain way forever and ever. And really, you know, hiring, first of all, remote work was just, even if it was someone just 2 miles away, this was a shocker. This was really hard and still very, very hard for some of these legacy businesses to get their head around. And there's a fear. There's a fear that people aren't going to work. They're not going to produce and whatever the fears may be. But then now you take this to kind of the nth degree where you're considering someone who doesn't even live in the same country you do. This is a fear-inducing state, I'm going to suspect. So how does your team, or how do you help these owners overcome that fear and overcome this barrier? I mean, it really is a barrier.
I agree. So, Jason, I completely agree that if, you know, you've never hired remote staff in the past, it can really be a challenge. Because as I said, without the experience of working with an international team, you can get into a lot of conflicts or confusion or not sure not only how to vet the people that you're talking to, but also how to work with the people you're talking to. And sometimes those cultural differences can affect work. So my biggest recommendation for people from North America, the United States especially, if they're hiring people outside of the country for the very first time and they're trying this out, really focusing on one, Mexico being like that first spot to look at, and then Latin America.
Okay.
The reason why I really recommend these regions is because a lot of the people locally will be going to American schools. So people that you'll find in the remote space that they're working online, they're working with these international companies. They've had experience maybe freelancing or doing all of this online. They've usually come from a background of either living in the States, having family in the States, going to American schools, having some sort of American tutors, or being really integrated in that culture, or have some sort of that culture growing up. And that, again, takes away a lot from that barrier. Versus if you look at, you know, Asia, like Southeast Asia or Eastern Europe, I think the differences are much more vast. If you're going to this the first time, going after and recruiting people from Latin America, you'll find is a lot easier and you can relate a lot better versus other regions in the world.
That's really interesting because I wouldn't have thought that. I mean, I would have thought that most of the time you'd be recruiting from Eastern Europe or India or countries like that, but makes a lot of sense. Absolutely makes a lot of sense. You know, that you would be looking at, you know, Central and South America as a great, you know, possibility. Very interesting. So the candidates, you mentioned a lot of the ones, especially in South America, is they've gone to American schools. And so when you take a look at candidates, and I'm assuming that you kind of have a stable of candidates. You have some folks in your back pocket that are looking for opportunities. How do you vet these folks? How do you make sure that they're going to be a solid performer? And again, this is all about alleviating those fears of the first-time business owner there.
First off, yes, we do have a database of over like 50, 60,000 people. So our database is pretty big at this point.
But you got a few people. You got a few candidates out there.
Just a few, yeah. Right? And then social media is also like, we're growing by 1,500 new subscribers every week on LinkedIn. Like, we have a huge, huge reach. But I do want to say that the way that we operate and hire is very different than a typical recruiter. And that's because we actually have separate teams on sourcing, vetting, and interviews. And that means that we don't really pull out of our back pocket to find the best person. We give everybody an equal opportunity, but we're always inviting candidates to apply for every single role that we do. And that creates a lot more abundance for the clients that we're hiring for. So that's just kind of to address in terms of like where the candidates are coming from. But in regards to vetting, whether we're doing this or, you know, whoever is going to be like anyone listening really can apply this strategy, the goal of when you're processing candidates in the remote space is to have a few steps to that process. I always say have some sort of applicant tracking system. When I say that, you could use LinkedIn for that. You can use a Google Sheet, Airtable, Asana, Trello, whatever it is that you're using just to keep track of people. Having some sort of questionnaire, putting together a list of what are the requirements that you have, the logistics of the role, the requirements, and creating a short questionnaire. This could be 10 to 15 questions related to the role and what would success look like. So creating a little vetting questionnaire, have all the candidates that are going into your job post and looking and wanting to apply, going and inviting them to the questionnaire or including the questionnaire in your post.
Sure.
But that creates so much more clarity around who people are, like the best people are, right? Who are going to be the people that are interesting and are qualified and you should be interviewing. And it's going to save you a lot of time because if you get 100 applications, the first question is, who do we talk to? So having a questionnaire, that's one thing we do. Another aspect is a video. You know, if you have the opportunity and the capacity requesting a short video. Normally we use Video Ask and it's great, but it can take a bit to set up. So as an 80-20 that anybody can do, anybody who's listening that hasn't done this before, requesting a short video from the candidates that they really liked,
yeah.
Right? So let's say there's 10 questionnaires from candidates they really liked, requesting those candidates to send in a short video, introducing themselves, talking about why they're interested in the role, you know, answering a couple questions. You'll be able to get a sense of their personality, their communication abilities, their English level, right? If you're looking outside of North America, and then sending them into an interview. Because from there, you've been able to take, let's say, 100 applications or 200 applications and really dialing that into five people that you might want to talk to. In the final stages, again, this is something I always talk about because it's so easy. And it's, as long as you can prepare for this in the beginning, you can really have a process that anybody can do, even if they're hiring for the very first time. So after they've done the interviews, setting up some sort of test project, and everyone asks me, Anna, okay, but let's say I'm hiring a manager. How do I know what kind of test project to do? I always say that the simplest thing you can do is take the two main challenges that this person will be attacking or addressing within your business and put that into a test project. Ask them, how would they address those challenges? In as much detail as they can. So that way you're clearly, they already created a strategy for you, and whoever strategy you like more, you're able to hire. So creating a test project that's a bit more strategic than task-based. And at the very last stage, and again, this is going to be personal preference, but we do reference checks. So we're reaching out to the past two or three employers or clients that the person worked with to understand the quality of their work, achievements, accomplishments. Now, to make this easier, again, anybody can do this. The easiest thing is to ask the candidate to provide the references. So they will provide you all the contact information. All you need to do is go on LinkedIn, do a double check to make sure that these are, you know, who they say they are, and then jump on the phone with these people. So you're not even having to do that or find that yourself. You can literally ask the candidate to provide those references for you and make sure that those people are waiting for your call.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, I think the video aspect, that was kind of an interesting piece because, I mean, I hate to say it, you know, even in North American candidates, that's difficult. It is difficult for someone to, you know, get on and do that. And those who can, wow, I mean, that's a pretty solid candidate, you know, who can do that. So, no, that's a terrific way to vet them out. So, you alluded to this a little bit earlier, you know, just with lower cost of living and things like that. But I mean, is this expensive? Obviously, I think the attraction is, it is more cost effective. But I mean, are we talking about 50% of North American wages? I mean, can you give me a ballpark?
Of course, this is going to be a little bit different based on the role. But let's take an operations manager. An operations manager in North America is going to be at like 80, 85 per year. At a minimum. In Latin America, as well as Eastern Europe, as well as Southeast Asia, you can get somebody as low as like $1,500 a month. Now, this is not going to be like the most incredible, you know, experienced right. candidate, but this is somebody who can run the day-to-day. And so, you know, $1,500, like even $2,000, let's say $2,000 per month.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's under $30,000 a year, you know, 2-3 times less than what you would be paying for in North America. Same thing for account managers, or I'm just giving you just examples of roles. But ultimately, for any position, expect that it will be 2-3 times cheaper in regards to salary ranges in Latin America, as an example, compared to the United States or North America.
A thought occurred to me. These candidates, is it primarily salary-based or are there commission-based opportunities as well?
Yeah, both. So it depends on the role. If it's more operations administrative, then normally either salary or hourly, right? If you don't have a lot of work, you can always get somebody on Upwork for, you know, 10 hours a week or so on. And
sure.
then there are sales positions that are, you know, yeah. client-facing or marketing positions that you can structure in terms of commission. And even I've done that personally in my own business where I would hire people for different marketing or sales roles on commission. Or you have some sort of base in the first month or two. And then as they get acclimated, they get in the flow of things, it turns into a commission-only role. So that is absolutely possible as well.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the cultural question. If if that is culturally acceptable in these different places that you've mentioned.
I think the most important thing is to make sure that having some sort of base while they're getting used to that during the training period, for example. So the first 1 to 3 months, it would be good to have some sort of base. But yes, it is completely acceptable to have that.
Interesting. All right. So can you give me a couple success stories? Something that's really worked out well, and you're pretty excited about how this whole thing came together.
I want to say that the most exciting roles, the ones that get me most excited, have to be operations, right? And there's many different names for it. A general manager, a head of ops, a COO, like chief operating officer, an operations manager. There's so many names to it. But at the end of the day, those are the positions that I have absolutely loved to fill. And that is because the success that we see, right? So as an example, we'd hired for an agency. I believe they were at like 20, 30 people. We hire their head of operations. He's now the director of, I believe, international operations in the company. He has built out each of the teams. He's restructured the company multiple times. They're now like over 70 or 80 staff. They've been able to grow in millions, right? And when I see that, when I'm able to see how one hire can absolutely take your business from 7 to 8 figures or from 8 to 9 figures, to me, those are the most powerful success stories because it shows how one person can absolutely make a complete turnaround of your business. On a smaller scale, we've helped smaller companies, for example, people who were running as a consultant or a one-man show, and then watching them and helping them grow through the years and bringing on, you know, another staff member. And they've always done things in person. And all of a sudden, they're hiring internationally and they're building their team of salespeople or account managers. And seeing their growth and how much that has transformed the way they think about business. We've done that a lot for people who either have a few team members locally or they're a one-man show. And then we started hiring for them internationally and how it's changed their business. It freed up their time. They're like, Anna, I'm no longer working 80-hour weeks. I'm able to spend time with my family. I'm able to have the space to work on projects that are not in the day-to-day and putting out fires. I can focus on big picture ideas of where I want to develop my business and how I really want to grow it. And that's what I think true success is. When we have that more freedom and more business growth.
Yeah.
And those are such transformational things for business owners. And that's why I say the team makes the business, really, when it comes to that growth.
Well, and I think right now, as candidates are so difficult to find in the United States right now, there's just such a frustration, I think, with people finding, you know, solid candidates. And, you know, I hate to say it this way, but, you know, you're afraid of the retreads, you know, that are in your industry. And it sounds to me like there's a fresh approach here that you could offer.
The other aspect is that it not only can it save so much money, it could also just create so many more opportunities, so many more people you have access to, so many more skills and abilities. It just opens up so many opportunities that I think just haven't been as available in the past. And so I think it's a great opportunity for many to explore.
Yeah, I think entrepreneurs have this fantasy of wanting to work internationally. It's exciting, you know, or I get to speak internationally. But, you know, we just don't know how to get there. And that's really, it sounds to me like something that you can help them or myself, somebody like myself, get there to really understand that world a little bit better. Before I let you go, I did want to ask about a new endeavor that you've taken on, kind of a fun endeavor that I ran across on LinkedIn. It is Roast My Resume, and it piqued my interest. So could you share a little bit more about what you're up to?
There is a really cool website that does landing page roasts. And I had a friend say, well, why aren't you doing this for candidates? Because a big passion of mine is helping people land jobs. And I'm like, that's right. The majority of the people who are struggling, even through our processes, just don't know how to position themselves. And I realized, like, I want to say over 90% of people are not landing jobs because they either don't understand the roles they're applying to, they don't know how to position themselves. And it all starts from the very beginning, that strategy piece, that resume piece, the LinkedIn profile, that's where it all starts. And so I launched roastresume.com.
Okay.
It's this really cool site where they can request a roast, and we're consistently going to increase pricing, obviously. But in the very beginning, we've priced it very affordably to make sure anybody, like no matter where you're at, we've had people apply from Paraguay and from Eastern Europe, like anybody can apply. And the whole point is to help people change their perspective, change their approach and strategy to be able to land a job. And I love them because I'm a very straightforward person. I like to say things as they are, and it gives me a great opportunity to just roast in the best possible way. In the best possible, like with very good intention. It's amazing. And it gives people an opportunity to just get some real feedback.
Sure.
It's like you paid for it, you asked for it, so I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, that's fun. No, that sounds great. And I think you're right. So many people are confused about, you know, what should I post or what should I have on my profiles, and certainly around a resume or CV. It's kind of a great service couched in a humorous, roasting atmosphere. So,
yeah.
So how does someone engage with your company, and how do they get involved with you? Tell me, how do they find you?
There's a couple of ways. So obviously my email is a great way of getting contact. So anna@letsremotivate.com. Super easy. Just shoot me an email. They can also go to our website and book a call through there. So letsremotivate.com. Just directly on the website, we do have a way of just booking a call. And that call, if it's somebody that is looking for extra help with either hiring or just having a conversation about recruitment, I love those conversations. So they can book a call through the website. Mm-hmm. And of course, my LinkedIn, but my name is quite complicated. So you'll be able to have a link somewhere.
I will have it in the show notes to make it easier on people so that they can figure out how to find you. But we'll get you, we'll get people there. So. Well, Anna, this has been an absolute pleasure. And thank you so much for sharing this. This is something that I've been fascinated with the last couple of years, and the different attitudes, the changing attitudes towards remote work. And now really taking this leap of faith from not just 2 miles down the street, it is now a continent away or something of that nature. So thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. And really, I'm excited to have some of the listeners reach out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Jason, for having me. This was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it.
Perfect.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, consider sharing with your friends and colleagues. And don't forget to follow the show on your favorite podcast application. Links to sponsors, products, and services mentioned during this episode can be found in the show description area or at www.distributiontalk.com. Distribution Talk is edited and mixed by the brilliant team at the Creative Imposter Studios. This episode was brought to you by my company, The Distribution Team. We are a consulting services firm dedicated to helping wholesale distribution clients remove barriers to profitability, generate wealth, and achieve personal goals. To learn more about how we can help your company succeed, check us out at www.thedistributionteam.com.